Its current state on 90.5 WKAR. Most people who live in the Mitten State have fond memories of time spent at one of the Great Lakes, if not more. Those memories are what fuel the Great Lakes Book Project. The book captures over 20 personal stories about life along the shoreline, and current state's Emmanuel Berry spoke with Walter Blake Knobloch, the book's publisher. Hi, Emmanuel.
Hi, Mark. How's it going?
Real good.
So many Michiganders, as you know, and people across the Midwest have personal tales about the Great Lakes. For instance, I remember my uncle losing his wedding ring in Lake Michigan and searching for it for hours and hours on end, or going up to Grand Haven and grabbing a pronto pup before heading to the beach.
Yeah.
So, you know, this book captures all of those powerful memories, those powerful bonds that people across the region and across the world, for that matter, have with the Great Lakes. The book's publisher and editor, Walter Blake Knobloch, came up with the idea for the project during the summer of 2012.
I was a senior in college. It was summer 2012, and I was living in Ann Arbor off of Bond Street, which is in kind of the student housing area. And it was a duplex, and I was on the second floor of the top of the duplex. And I don't know if you remember that time, but the book 50 Shades of Grey was kind of popular. And so I wasn't taking classes, and I was just kind of to myself, and I was sitting in the top floor of the duplex, and I read 50 Shades of Grey. And it was just the worst book I've ever read. it was pretty terrible. And I don't know if someone likes that. I'm not saying it's like inherently bad. I mean, I guess I kind of am, but I'm not saying you have to think that. But what I thought is this is just a god awful book. It doesn't really make sense. It's not good, and yet it sold hundreds of thousands, I don't know, a million copies around the world. And so I was sitting in my room on my bed, just kind of sweating, reading this terrible, terrible book. And I said, you know, if they can do this, I can do this. If I can make a book that has some sort of substance to it, I mean, right? And
yeah.
And sell, and maybe not sell a million copies, but, you know, maybe get in front of a few people.
Why did you decide to have these books center around the Great Lakes?
Because I grew up in Michigan. I was born in Flint, and I grew up in Traverse City. And so the Great Lakes have been kind of this, especially like Michigan, this ubiquitous presence in my life. And I've traveled around, and I've been to, you know, the desert, and I've traveled to other places too. I backpacked from Amsterdam down to Sicily. I've seen a lot of cool stuff. But there's literally nothing at all like the Great Lakes. And I can say that, and I mean it. There's no freshwater body that's so big. It's ridiculous. And so if I said, okay, this is something that I know everyone, not everyone, most people feel the same way about this because it's such a unique thing. I knew not everyone can relate to like stories from my life, but everyone can relate to the Great Lakes in some way in their own life.
Tell me about some of those memories that make you have such a strong association with the Great Lakes.
Well, when I was in high school, in my second year of college, my friends and I, there was maybe 12 of us, we saw an old pontoon boat on the side of the road up in Traverse City. It was kind of out in the boonies, and it was like $200. And it wasn't safe, of course, because, you know, it was $200. But we
yeah.
we bought it. And we fixed it up, and I'm using air quotes over here in Detroit. We didn't fix it up. We just, you know, spray painted it black and put some drywall on there. Not drywall, some wood on there. It was actually like three stories tall. There was the main floor, a second floor on top, and then we had like a rooftop deck that was just, you know, 10 or 15 feet high in the air, and you were supposed to hit a golf ball off there, but it was just very, very dangerous, and it was chaotic. But anyways, back to your question, that's one of my best memories, coincidentally, even though this was just this floating disaster, and oftentimes it wasn't even that, it was more or less a sinking disaster. I really enjoyed everything about that, and we would drive around West Bay up in Traverse City, and just enjoy the sunshine and the three or four months of summer we're allotted in northern Michigan. And just that's the kind of thing that I don't think anyone else outside of the Great Lakes region, and maybe not outside of even, you know, living on the lakeshore, I guess, would have the chance to make a makeshift pirate ship. But it's just something that I really look back fondly upon, and it was kind of stupid and dangerous, but that's the best stories always have some element of stupidity in them, I guess, yeah. Right?
There's such a wide variety of topics in this book and writing styles. Could you give us just a couple examples to kind of illustrate that variety?
D.E. Green, he's a Minnesota guy. He has some really, really great poems in there. But then, I hate to say one of them is my favorite, like I was telling you earlier.
Yeah.
I hate to pick out a favorite, but just to explain, like, for example, there's like a first-person narrative. Michael Mayday, who's a guy that I know, he talks about his story is Hunting the Whitetail. And that's a first-person narrative. D.E. Green has a collection of poems, and they're really, they've got great imagery. You read them, and you feel like, okay, I know what it's like to see the things he saw. And then Matthew Gavin Frank, who's a great author and he lives in Marquette. Elements of the past, you know, its relation to the lake, is kind of like a conceptual, almost surreal work of nonfiction that talks about pasties in Lake Superior, and it kind of jumps around, and it isn't have your normal plot structure of a story. But at the same time, you finish with it, say, okay, I don't really know what that was about necessarily, but I know what he was trying to say. I don't want to give it away, but he's got a very distinct reverence for Lake Superior.
Is this book just a book for Great Lakes people, quotation marks over here on my end? I mean, do you hope that this reaches others outside the region?
If you haven't been to the Great Lakes region, you can read this book and say, okay, you know, this is a good book. It's not, you know, I've never been to, I've never walked up and down the Appalachian Trail, but I read Walk in the Woods. And I appreciated the book, you know, for its lessons and whatever. If you've never been to the upper Midwest, you can read this book and still say, okay, you know, I get that. But where I think it really has so much more power is people not necessarily have lived here, but have even visited here. We've sold books in South Africa. I've shipped books to Australia, England, South Korea. Because the Great Lakes are so powerful, people see them. And even if they don't live here, they've only spent a day or a week or, you know, half a day on the shores of Lake Michigan or Ontario or Huron or wherever it is, it sticks with them. And so this isn't necessarily a book just for Great Lakes people, because it's, you know, it's good writing, but it definitely is a book for people who have taken a piece of the Great Lakes with them.
You had over 300 submissions for the book. Have you ever considered doing a second collection or multiple collections, making it a series of sorts?
Yeah, that's what I'm working with right now. I really wanted to do a volume two, and I like the idea of this communal storytelling where it's stories sourced from the entire region. And right now I'm thinking, okay, do I want to take this idea and take it to other regions of the United States? Do I have the ability to do that? Do I have the time and manpower? Because that's something that I think that the book has been so well received that I like the idea of helping create the same type of community somewhere else. But at the same time, like I said, the book's been so well received. I'd also like to create a second volume, like I was saying. And so maybe instead of, you know, emailing 10,000 people and getting 300 responses, I can talk to newspapers and blogs or radio shows like this and not actually have to not have to do that and actually create a better, a different type of books. Because, I mean, what I did is most of these authors probably, I'd say it's an 80-20 mix of, you know, authors, like, who are actual authors and professors, and then the 20 is, like, regular people, for lack of a better term. You know, people who just like to write and live in the upper Midwest. And I think if I could have more exposure and people know that, okay, this guy is like a, you know, he's legit, the book project is a real thing, I could get a wider selection of ordinary people who have
more or less
ordinary lives, but maybe one really, really, really awesome story, or maybe a few awesome stories, but one that they want to write about. And so if anybody out there is interested, go to our website, which is thegreatlakesbookproject.com, and sign up for our newsletter. And then we're going to be doing updates about when we're going to be looking for more submissions and how the path of the Great Lakes Book Project is going.
Great. So when people read this book, what is it that you hope they take away after reading it?
Well, you know, I hope on a superficial level, I hope they enjoy reading it. I hope they, you know, if maybe they sit down at, and they've got 15 minutes to kill and they read a story about passage, I hope that they enjoyed it. But bigger than that, I want people to understand that sometimes people in our lives, we can kind of feel lonely and like we're isolated because the feelings we have are so far off from how we assume everyone else feels. And I want people to read this and say, you know, wow, I read one of these 25 stories, and I felt just like that. And I think that idea of connecting is really, really important. And so what I want people to take away, besides enjoying the book, is to read it and know that for whatever reason it is, that there's someone out there who feels a lot like them. That's really important to me.
Walter Blake Knobloch is the editor and publisher of the Great Lakes Book Project. This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.